Say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We are thankful for our mothers. We are thankful for our women and thankful for women who believe the truth and stand for the truth and live the truth. We're thankful for them. So again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Our message today has absolutely nothing to do with Mother's Day, but we'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've preached from many times. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through verse 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. This, of course, is an application passage. We know this from the very first word, wherefore, meaning for which reason or in view of. It actually takes us back to chapter 10, verse 35, and continues on through the end of chapter 11. But back there in chapter 10, in verse 38, the subject is the just shall live by faith. There's also made mention of those who draw back. And we see in verse 39 of Hebrews 10, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that believe, again bringing us to faith, to the saving of the soul, or to the end. The idea established there is persevering faith. And then the writer moves into chapter 11, where we read of those who attained spiritually and did extraordinary things and who endured in their obedience to God in very difficult and trying times, and they did so by faith or through faith. And then we come to our text, wherefore, and we have the practical application, the admonition, the encouragement, basically not to lose heart but to continue on living the life that God has called us to live. So what we have here is a figure of speech, that being a race. And this is meant to illustrate the Christian life. It's not the first time that this figure of speech has been used. We see it in 1 Corinthians 9. We see it in Galatians 5. We see it in 2 Timothy 2. And in the New Testament, of course, there are many figures of speech used to illustrate the Christian life. There's the warfare. There's a figure of speech concerning farming. And in other places, you have the relationship of a master and a servant, the relationship of a father and son. And the reason that we see these figures of speech is because these are spiritual matters and not physical, so he uses the physical to describe these spiritual matters so you and I can better relate. So in our text, the Christian life is being illustrated under the figure of a race. And notice in verse 1, run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice the position of the race. It is before us. It's not behind us. It is before us. It's in front of us. With that in mind, notice verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Now, if we're going to run the race that is before us, that is in front of us, and we are to be looking unto Jesus, then he is before us also. The word unto, of course, speaks of direction. It speaks of the direction of the race. It is unto Jesus. So it's in the direction of Jesus. So it is run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. So it's really running toward Jesus. And that's pretty descriptive of the life that you and I are called to live. Running toward Jesus. And that is what we want to speak upon this morning. First of all, we'll just look at the description of the life that we are to live. We see, first of all, it's likened to a race. And notice, it is the race. So it is a particular, it is a specific race that is presently and continually set. That is, it is marked out clearly. It is marked out distinctly. The race that is set. So this is not a race of our choosing, but it is a race that has already been set. God has set the markers. God has set the bounds for this race. And the markers and the bounds are laid out in the Word of God. God has set the course. The course, of course, spans life upon this earth. So it is not for you and I or anyone else to set the rules of the race. They've already been set. It's not for you and I to set the course of the race. The race has been set. So no matter how fast you run, no matter how much zeal and energy you put forth, no matter how good your form might be in running the race, and no matter how far you run in the race, if you do not run that which is set, it does not count. You have to stay within the bounds that have already been set, or it doesn't count. We cannot just run as we please. It is a race that is set before us. You cannot reset the markers. You cannot reset the bounds and have it count. The race is set. And I'm afraid that many are running the wrong race. And if we are going to live the Christian life, we have to make sure, first of all, that we are on the right track. And how do you know the right track? Well, the right track is this book. Far too many of God's people busy themselves, put forth most of their energy, running with the runners of the world who are running an entirely different race, living an entirely different life. So consider the implications of a race, because they are descriptive of the character and the manner of the life in which you and I are to live. A race implies preparation, which teaches us that you cannot just stumble out of bed and live this life that is being described. A race implies exertion, that which is strenuous. It requires determined effort, which teaches that the life of a child of God is not a life of ease, not a life of relaxation. A race implies progression and advancement, which teaches, of course, that the Christian life is a life of spiritual advancement. A race implies a goal. There has to be a finish line. The race ends somewhere, which implies that the life we are called to live is a pursuit. You run a race, you are pursuing the finish line. And we see the Christian life is a pursuit. We also see a race implies, as we've already said, a specified course, a running in a certain direction, which implies that the life of a child of God is not random. If you're running in a race, you can't just, the runners don't just run in whatever direction they please. There's a direction. It's not random. A race implies rules. A race implies limitations. A race implies that there are some boundaries, which teaches that the life of a child of God is not haphazard. A race implies concentration of purpose, singleness of aim, perseverance, which teaches that the life that you and I are called to live is a very serious matter. The race that is set before us, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the conditions, the race is set before us. We see also that the life of a child of God is a responsibility and a duty. So you have this race, and it's set before us. We have to do something with it. What are we to do? Well, it says run the race that is set before us. It's not about the race that you and I prefer. It is run the race that is set before us. Our responsibility is to run. The implication being we are to extend ourselves. We are to stretch ourselves toward the goal, toward the finish line. Run the race that is set before us. It is run that speaks of effort, that speaks of toil, that speaks of zeal. There's nothing half-hearted about this race. There's nothing half-hearted about the life that God has called us to live. Now, many, when it comes to sport or hobby or work, they put forth great energy. They put forth great effort. But when it comes to the matters of God, they need a break. They need to rest. They need to relax. But our responsibility is to run the race. Regardless of whatever else is going on in your life, run the race. That is always our responsibility. In other words, the Christian life is for all seasons. We're never to stop living the Christian life. So he says, run the race that is set before us. It's not observe the race that is set before us. We're not spectators, and we are not the commentators of the race. We are the participants of this race, and our participation is not contingent upon people. Our participation is not contingent upon circumstances. It is simply run the race, regardless of people, regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of circumstances, run the race. You cannot use as an excuse, I don't go to church because brother so-and-so said such and such. You're to run the race, regardless of what anyone else has said, regardless of what anyone else has done, regardless of how badly you've been mistreated in your mind. You are to run the race, regardless of people, regardless of circumstances. So our responsibility is run. No exemptions are made. It's just simply run the race that is set before us. No exemptions, none whatsoever. It is the duty of every child of God to run the race. It is the duty of every child of God to be advancing. Again, a race is moving forward. It's moving forward. It's progressing. It's advancing spiritually. And that is the duty of every child of God. We're to always be running the race. When the way is rough, run the race. When the way is smooth, run the race. Whether it be uphill or downhill, run the race. Whether there be obstacles or whether there not be obstacles, run the race. Whether you are surrounded by enemies or surrounded by friends, run the race. whether others are running with you or you're running all alone, run the race. There are no exemptions, none whatsoever. There is also the implication of some difficulty. He says, run with patience the race that is set before us. The word patience conveys the idea of endurance. So this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Endurance. Endurance is the ability to bear pains and trials calmly. It is the ability to manifest forbearance under provocation or strain. It is the ability to be steadfast in the face of opposition, difficulty, or adversity. So the very word implies that this race is going to involve some pains. This race is going to involve some trials, some difficulties. There's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some adversity. What are we to do? Run the race. You keep running the race. Regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the adversity, regardless of the pain, run. Run with patience, endurance. This race is run in a world that is actively opposed to God. So run with endurance. Keep running the race. It's run in a world that has a very powerful draining effect upon that which is spiritual. But keep running the race. And as you're running this race, along the way, there may be some running in the opposite direction. And when someone's running in the opposite direction, that can get confusing, and they get in the way. And along the way, there will be some runners who fall. And along the way, there will be some stumbling blocks and some obstacles. And along the way, there will be some trying to pull you down. And along the way, at times, you'll feel like you're running blindfolded uphill against the gale and through a minefield. But you keep running the race. Regardless of whatever is going on, while you run the race, you just keep running the race. There will be times when you don't feel like running the race. Run the race. You run when you don't feel like running. You live this life when you don't feel like it. You just keep on. There are some dangers also associated with the race. We see this in verse 3. Toward the end of that verse, you have the two words, lest ye. Lest ye. That implies a danger. The word lest conveys the idea of that we need to prevent something. We need to avoid something. And what it is that we're preventing or avoiding is something that is very possible. It's very possible that this comes into our life. In this case, lest ye is followed by two specific dangers. And you will notice that these two dangers are something that can happen to the participants of the race. They are dangerous conditions by which we can become, by that which we can be overcome. There's the danger of weariness. He says, lest ye be wearied. That implies exhaustion. Depletion, draining. There is the danger that while we're running the race, we become spiritually exhausted and drained. That's a danger. It's a real danger. There is the danger of faintness and faint in your minds, which of course is the result of weariness. Spiritual exhaustion, spiritual depletion leads to spiritual fainting. To faint is to pass out. It is to lose consciousness. Spiritually, spiritual fainting is a loss of spiritual consciousness. So this faintness of mind is really the reverse of endurance. It's the reverse of vigor and pressing on. It's a losing of heart in the matters of God. And this is a danger, that while we're running the race, somewhere along the way, we lose heart. Our spiritual resolve is broken. So we have difficulties in this race. We have dangers. Then he gives us some instructions for running the race. And the instructions are the means of obtaining the endurance. And they're also a safeguard against the dangers. If we follow the instructions, we will obtain endurance, and if we follow the instructions, we will guard ourselves against those two dangers that we have mentioned. The first thing that we're to do, verse 1, is we are to run free of weights. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." A weight is that which encumbers, something that's going to hinder us. Now, I believe here in our text, weight is not sin. We see the two are separated, weight and the sin. So, I believe the weights here fall under the category of Luke 21:34, which would be the cares of this life. Not necessarily sinful, but just simply the cares of life, the legitimate cares of life. It has reference to our earthly responsibilities and our circumstances. And almost anything can become a weight in our lives. And when responsibilities and the cares of life get a hold of us, and begin to control us, they hinder our progress in the race. And I believe that's what he means here by weights. And sadly, many of God's people are trying to run the race with heavy weights around their ankles. You do that long enough, you're going to get weary. Some are running the race with cement in their shoes. Cement in their shoes, and they're carrying a load on their back. And you know what else they do as they run? They pick up other weights along the way. They're weighted down. They cannot run the race. They're constantly adding things to their life that will hinder spiritual progress. They just keep on adding activities, keep on adding things in their life, keep on bringing clutter into their lives. These are weights. And you cannot run with these weights very far. Running with weights will result in weariness. It'll result in faintness. We're to lay aside the weights. We're to cast off the weights. How do you do that? Well, Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee." 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So we're to run free of weights. Again, you watch a race. No one's running with an overcoat on. They strip down. They get all the excess out of the way. We're to run free of entanglements. Lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. It is the sin. I believe he's talking about the sin of unbelief here, but you can apply it to all sin. Sin has the ability to hem us in. Sin has the ability to entangle us. Remember when the children of Israel got down to the Red Sea, Pharaoh would look at them and he would say in his mind, they are entangled in the land, or they are entangled in the wilderness, and the wilderness has shut them in. And that's very true of many of God's people. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. They're tied down with the things of the world, and they cannot serve God. It is these people who will say such things as, well, Pastor, I can't do such and such, but when I retire, I'll be able to. No, you won't. Because you'll find something else. The problem is not work. The problem is not family. The problem is you allow these things to entangle you. And when you retire, you'll find something else to entangle you. We have to learn how to break free from the entanglements. So many are trying to run the race with their feet tied, with their hands tied by sin, their minds are bound by sin, and their eyes are blindfolded by sin. And they become weary, and they faint. And then we see we're to run focused. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. In all athletics, doesn't matter what the sport is, the placement of your eyes is of extreme importance. How many times, if you've played any sports at all, how many times you heard, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the ball. Eye placement is critical. Absolutely critical. Now, if you're running a race, you can't be looking down at your feet. If you try it, well, don't, but try it sometime. Run looking down at your feet. You're going to fall. That's a wrong eye placement. You can't run watching the grandstand. You can't run looking at other runners. You can't run looking back. And yet that's how many are trying to live the Christian life. They're looking at those who are watching. They're looking at other runners. They're looking back. You can't run that way. You must look straight ahead. You must look straight ahead at the goal. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the goal. Christ's likeness is the goal. That is the goal for the Christian life. To be more like Jesus Christ. So we're to run looking unto Jesus. That there's nothing hard to understand about those words. There's nothing difficult. There's nothing confusing. Looking unto Jesus. How do we do that? By faith. Jesus Christ is the object of faith. In salvation, we looked unto Jesus alone. You didn't look to baptism. You didn't look to family. You didn't look to religion, you look to Jesus Christ alone. And running the race, the life that follows salvation, it's carried about the same way. Looking unto Jesus. Now that phrase, looking, means to look off and look unto. To look away from other objects to one. And that's the whole Christian life. We have to constantly be looking away from this, looking away from this, and looking on to Jesus Christ. We are to look away from the other runners unto Jesus Christ. Other runners may discourage you. Look away from the other runners and look unto Jesus Christ. We're to look away from the difficulties and the opposition and the obstacles unto Jesus. We're to look away from all the threats. We're to look away from all the promises of the world unto Jesus. You won't get sucked in by the promises of the world if you look away from the promises and look unto Jesus. We're to look away from the past. There are many who are living their life in the past. They can't get past the past. You have to look away from the past and look unto Jesus. So again, this is not just merely a casual glance in the direction of Christ. It is a continual looking. Just as runners in a race set their eyes upon the goal, we have to set our eyes upon the goal, which of course is Jesus Christ. We cannot allow our attention to be diverted looking unto Jesus. We must look to Him to see what He is. We look to Him to hear what He speaks. We look to Him to do what He says. We look to Him to follow where He leads. Looking unto Jesus. Not a casual glance, but a submissive, affectionate looking. It is the heart occupied, captivated, and mesmerized with Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. We see our example. We see our encouragement. It is the way to avoid spiritual depletion. It is the way to avoid a state of spiritual unconsciousness. Run free of weights. Run free of entanglements. Looking unto Jesus. When the way is smooth, when the way is rough, looking unto Jesus. Whether the way be downhill or uphill, looking unto Jesus. Whether there be many obstacles or no obstacles, looking unto Jesus. And as we run this race, looking unto Jesus gives us greater desire to continue on. It gives us that endurance that we spoke of. It's the way to overcome the obstacles, however great they might be. Looking unto Jesus is the way to keep from being distracted and to keep moving in the right direction. We are easily turned. We're sheep. We lose our sense of direction very easily. That is why we have to look away from. You may get your eyes upon something else for a while. You need to look away from that and refocus upon Jesus Christ. That's the problem. Many people cannot or will not refocus. Looking unto Jesus, we are changed into His likeness. And then we see there are four things mentioned that we see when we look unto Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before Him. That speaks of His motive. As you look unto Jesus, you see that the glory of God was His joy. The glory of God is what He lived for. Look unto Jesus and follow that example. We see He endured the cross. That speaks of His steadfastness. Nothing could move Him from doing the Father's work. Nothing. Look unto Jesus and follow His example. We see He despising the shame. That speaks of His thinking. He thought very little of the shame entailed in the cross. He saw the spitting. He saw the mocking. He saw the scourging. He saw the false accusations, the agony of suffering. And as He looked at those things, He thought it's nothing compared to the joy of doing God's will and glorifying His name. Look unto Jesus and follow His example. And then the last thing we see concerning Him is He sat down at the right hand of God. That speaks of His victory. When you look to Christ, you do not see one who's defeated. Get your eyes off of defeated Christians. They're not going to help you. Get your eyes on the one who has already won the victory, Jesus Christ. And He's won the victory for us. And then we are to run remembering. Verse 3, for consider Him. Consider Him. As you run, you have to think upon something. Something has to be on your mind. What's on our mind is of extreme importance. Consider Him. Ponder Him. Think about Him very carefully. Give attention to Him. take him into account. As you run the race, meditate upon him. As you run the race, think upon him. Think upon him. Well, brother, sister so-and-so said such-and-such, and they did such-and-such, and I just can't get past that. You need to change your course of thought. Think upon Christ. Meditate upon Christ. Are you going to let people keep you from serving the Lord? That shows very little love for Jesus Christ. Well, consider him. Consider who he was. Consider the place he took. Consider the infinite perfection of his character and his deeds. In everything that you do, and everywhere you go, consider him. Consider him. Get your mind off of whoever's let you down and consider him. Because he's never let you down. And he never will. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We all have oppositions. None of us have anything close to the opposition that Jesus Christ encountered. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Well, so-and-so's against me. So what? Run the race. Run the race. Consider Jesus. He endured that which was bitter. He endured that which was severe. He endured that which was malicious against him. He endured everything which the evil wits of men could come up with. He endured everything that Satan could come up with. He endured the outpoured wrath of an almighty God. He endured Satan. He endured the betrayal of his fathers, of his followers. And there are God's people who talk all the time, well, I've been betrayed. Nothing like Christ. And yet he endured it. Consider him. Consider him. He endured mockery. He endured slander. He endured all kinds of difficulties. All kinds of turmoil. And he never, ever turned aside from the path of duty. Never. Didn't even consider it. He never abandoned his God-given mission. Never. He's our example. Consider him. He remained steadfast. He finished the work which God the Father had given him. Consider him. As you run the race, consider him. Consider his love for your soul. Think upon the love that he has for you. Consider that he stood in your place as a criminal. Consider the price that he has paid for your soul. So we're to look unto him. And we're to consider him. The two go hand in hand. If you're looking unto something, you're thinking about it. And if you're looking unto Jesus, you're thinking about him. And as we run this race, he is the goal. He is the goal. And we're to be thinking about the goal. Whoever the other runners are, and whatever they do or whatever they might not do, they're not the goal. They're not the object. Don't make them the object of the race. They're not the object. Don't make them the focus of the race. They're not the focus. The obstacles aren't the focus. The obstacles aren't the object. The object is Jesus Christ. Look unto Him. Consider Him. It speaks of an attitude. It speaks of a state of being. Something that permeates us. Looking unto Jesus. So we have a specific and definite race that is set before us. This race is laid out in the Word of God. And it is the life that we are to live. It is a life of faith. It is a life of obedience. It is a pursuit of Christ. We are to be pursuing Christ. We are not to be waiting for someone to bless us. We are to be pursuing. We are in pursuit of Jesus Christ. Nothing is to get in the way of that pursuit. We all love our families, but family is not to get in the way of our pursuit. Families, family responsibilities, work, all these things can become a weight. Not to get in the way. We have families, we have work. Those things are necessary, but they're not to get in the way. We have a pursuit. And the sad thing is, many who profess to be saved are pursuing the wrong things. They're running a different race, has a different finish line, a different goal. So it is a race that began the moment the Lord saved our soul. The moment Jesus saved our soul, this race began. And it ends when we are summoned to leave this world. That's when it ends. It doesn't end before that. It ends when we are summoned to leave this world. So run the race. Let us not get in the way of those who are running the race. Let us be an encouragement to those who are trying to run the race. And keep in mind that it is running toward Jesus Christ. If you're not running toward Jesus Christ, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong direction. And it's not going to count. So we often have to stop and observe the direction in which we are running. Is it a running toward Jesus Christ? That ought to be our life. Running toward Jesus Christ. And again, the finish line is conformity to Christ. Every day we're to be being conformed to Jesus Christ, becoming more like Him. But there's coming a day when we're going to cross that finish line and we're going to be like Him. Until then, we'll never be completely like Him. But we're to keep running in that direction. Running toward Jesus. Sometimes, it may appear that you're running all alone. That's never so. But it may appear that way. But you're not. Keep in mind that there are others who have run the race, and they have run the race well. And we thank God. And there are others who are running the race who have the same struggles, that you and I have, and we need to pray for them, and again, try to encourage one another. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. When somebody starts to complain about someone else, this person, you know, they have me so discouraged, just tell them, look unto Christ. Get your eyes off of that. Look unto Christ. Look unto Christ. That's where the strength is. Look away from all these other things. Look unto Christ. I'm thankful that God has allowed us to run this race. I'm glad that I don't have to run the race that the world's running. I can run a different race. And it's a race that will end well. The world's race does not end well. But this race ends well for you and I. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've called us to live. Lord, that you would help us to always strive to live that life, that we might bring honor and glory to you. Help us, Lord. Help us to always run the race. Help us, Lord, never to get in the way. Help us, Lord, never to be a discouragement to others who are trying to run the race. But Lord, just help us to keep our eyes upon Thee, that You would give us the endurance that we need to run the race. Cause us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon Thee, fix our minds upon Thee. Lord, help us. We pray that You would strengthen us. We do pray for those who struggle with health, Lord, that You would help them. Be with each one. Lord, as we go from here and go our separate ways to our homes, Lord, we pray that You would bless each one here. You know the spiritual needs of each one. We just pray, Lord, that You would bless us, fulfill our spiritual needs, bring us back this evening. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, God bless each one.